It's the dumbest event of the year so far, and we've had a lot of dumb events. It's the mass ritual of Katy Perry, Gayle King, Lauren Sanchez, going to space on Jeff Bezos' big dumb Blue Origin rocket. Is it fake? Is it gay? Well, today, I'm going to reveal to you the conspiracies of the true symbolism of what this event was really all about. Now, this is a subject I've been talking about for many, many years. Going back to 2014 in the early days of blogging, podcasting. We're going to decode this mass pop ritual event. The Blue Origin rocket trip taken by six famous women. We'll discuss the Illuminate confirm of Katy Perry, symbolism of the Baphomet goat with the bobs. The Kabbalistic meaning of 31, conspiracies about doors, corn portals, and the not-so-hidden alchemical symbolism of the masculine penetrating the feminine, because that's what this is all about. This is what the synchro mystics of many years before me were talking about when they talk about pop culture and mass ritual events and the focus of energy of the pop of the masses onto these celebrities, these modern-day gods and goddesses, the pantheon of losers. Now, quick housekeeping. Don't forget now, I interviewed Dr. Jacques Vallée. It's a very big deal to me. And I just... Sorry. It's like the first thing in the morning. I'm trying, folks. I woke up early on my day off trying to get this done for you guys. I interviewed Dr. Jacques Vallée. And that was the most recent episode. I just made it on the free feed yesterday. So if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh man, what are you talking about, Dr. Jacques Vallée? Yeah, there's another one right behind this, okay? I've been cranking it out. So... And so don't forget to check out the Dr. Jacques Vallée interview, and don't forget to check out Breaking Social Norms podcast, the other podcast I do with my wife, because I'm going to break down that Dr. Jacques Vallée interview on there, and I'm going to decode the whole thing, and I've got some major findings. Major findings, okay? Major key alert. And then I recently appeared on Donut's show on his, go to his YouTube live streams. I don't know where he posts his stuff. I know it's for sure on the YouTube live. I don't know if he's got where he posts his stuff, but check out my interview with Donut. We talked Dark Enlightenment, and I was on Ryder Lee's Raised by Giants talking about Dark Enlightenment, and we got a little bit into this Katy Perry thing on that show. So check him out too. Raised by Giants everywhere. And also, if you notice, every month I do a bonus show for my supporters, and that is the today is the month of, what are we, April. Today's the bonus episode for the month of April, and you'll notice if you're on the Patreon, so listen up, Patreon folks, I assign new tier names. Might not be a big deal to you, it's a big deal to me. I feel like these actually fit the mold of what we're trying to do, all right? I'm trying to make more sense out of this whole thing. So I've got tier one, you guys are now seekers. Tier two, you guys are now watchers, get it? It's a double entendre, because tier two unlocks the video version of the show. And also, it's a term that goes back to the Watchers, right? I don't know. Just fun. We're just having fun here. Don't get too hung up on this. Tier 3 is now the inner circle. And Tier 4, those are the grand architects. You're at the top, baby. You're at the inner circle. I should call it the inner circle. That'd be better. But anyway, and if you're on that free feed status and you're thinking about getting on the bonus supporter feeds to unlock hundreds of bonus episodes, don't forget, I've got annual options on the Patreon. You toggle a little switch, and you're going to save some monies. I max it out for you guys. Patreon lets me max that thing out to 16%. Well, that's what you get. I think it's 16%. So, check that out. And also, if you're already on Patreon, consider jumping up to the annual subscription. You can save a few bucks that way, okay? Or maybe you can jump up to Tier 2 if you want to watch the video version. I'm gonna put some effort and work into this show for you guys. I'm going to try to make these videos a little more engaging. I'm going to try to add more images. It takes more time, but I've just decided, you know what? I got to do this for you guys. I want to do this. So, anyway, if you got any questions about any of that, hit me up, all right? Okay. Now, let's get into the topic today. Blue Origin. What a morning I'm having here, folks. Listen up, folks. This is how Alex Jones got that voice. I've been talking so much this week. So many shows. So many appearances. This whole thing with the Blue Origin, you've seen it all over social media. You've seen the rest. Now come to the best. We're going to decode this thing in a way I can't guarantee it because I don't consume everyone's content, but I've seen a handful of conspiracy videos on this, and I thought, all right, let daddy in the room. Let me show you how this is done, folks. You guys are way off base. So let's talk about just the overall vibe of this thing, okay? It's giving Hunger Games. These people are insufferable. Everyone's going through some stuff right now. The economy's tanking, and we're supposed to care about the world's third richest man and his plastic-filled harem of women going up to space. Nobody cares, dude. Nobody cares. You guys all suck. Put them in a little collapsible submarine and send them down to the Titanic for all I care. Now, that's my nihilistic viewpoint of the whole thing. But, and it's Easter weekend. My goodness, what's wrong with me? But now, I watched the trip video because I saw this splashing the feeds and I thought, well, I want to watch the full video itself. And if you watch the full video on YouTube, I think it was on the Blue Origins YouTube channel. Felt kind of AI generated, but, you know, it's hard to tell anymore. It's hard to tell. It's like that if you watch the video of the astronauts that were stranded in space and when they landed in the water, that thing felt fake too. But I can't tell anymore. It's really hard to tell now. But anyway, the rocket takes off, and then they pan to the crowd of the pop culture losers that were there. You had Oprah crying, you know. Jeff Bezos, he's in the crowd, of course. Chloe and her whatever dumb mom's name, the Kardashians were there. I mean, it was supposed to be this real moment, all right? So they're all crying and boo-hooing while this thing's taking off and going up. And around the six-minute mark, the video feed got choppy and kind of blacked out. And I thought, what was that? That was weird. Could have just been a technical glitch. Could have been some kind of splicing in of altered footage. I don't know. I just thought it was weird. Then they go up in space, and you actually, from the point of view of the video, you don't really see what's happening in the cabin at all. You don't see any, there's no shots from inside of Katie, Gail, whatever the other people's names are. We're going to go through the list, by the way. So it just kind of gets tiny, then it starts coming back down, you hear a sonic boom, and the news announcers are super Hunger Games'd out, right? They're, this is truly the stuff of science fiction. And, like, the rocket itself that transports them, it lands perfectly on target. They're like, wow, Jeff Bezos, perfectly on target. My goodness. Who wouldn't want to pay Blue Origin for this space tourism? Wow. I'm like, bro, ain't no one talking about going to space tourism right now. We're talking about gas is $3.50 a gallon and eggs are $8 a dozen. We're talking about the 401ks are decimated. You guys are thinking we're all going to shell out 100K to go to barely low Earth orbit? What are you talking about? Like, read the room. But that's the world they're trying to create. And that's why I say it's giving very Hunger Games vibes. Then, after the rocket lands perfectly on target, we get the tip of Bezos's big old phallus rocket with the payload of women in it, starts coming down now. And you hear him screaming. It's actually kind of funny. And it lands, parachutes deploy, it lands in the deserts there or whatever. And then the whole sort of ensemble crew comes over to greet our new astronauts. And it was a pure show of shit. And Jeff Bezos drips. The door opens up from the inside before it's supposed to open up. And then Jeff Bezos acts like he's opening the door with this big wrench. The women, they each come out, they kiss the ground, and they're all, I feel connected, all that stuff, right? And that was kind of it for the video. And I've seen video clips from inside the cabin. They exist. I don't know if there's one specific compiled video somewhere out there. All I could find was various news outlets playing bits of these clips. So I don't know who got the footage. I don't know if it's on. I don't know. I don't know how they worked. But I couldn't find a cohesive one sort of like 4-minute video of what happened in the cabin. And I'll talk about why that's interesting here in a second. Because I had nothing to compare this to. Lots of people were on the social media saying like, oh, it's obviously fake and so on. But I thought, well, let me compare this to something else. So I thought there's got to be another Blue Origin space footage video out there. So I look, and sure enough, NS28 with Emily Calandrelli did a video. I don't know when it was. Doesn't really matter. It was three missions ago, right? Because this was mission NS31, NS meaning New Shepard. We'll talk about the symbolism of what those names mean here in a minute. And the numbers and the numerology and the location. It's pretty wild. It's actually very wild. But the NS28 mission with Emily C, that had a very similar thing, right? They showed it launching, showed it return, all that stuff. But what I found interesting and different was that if you watch that video, it shows there's a video feed from inside the cabin, which makes the most sense in the world, right? It shows her pre-launch, it shows her during launch, it shows her up in space, you know, because that's the whole point of this thing. It's like a PR stunt. So I thought, why didn't we get that exact same thing? And the video footage is of a fixed camera pointed at Emily while she's sitting in the seat with the big giant window next to her. And she's like, whoa, you know, what? The thing's taking off and wow, whatever. I thought, why didn't we get that? Why didn't we get that? Is it because it's fake? Is it because it's gay? I don't know. That's the funniest term. I don't know. I don't even know where that came from. I've heard Jay Dyer say it a million times, so I guess he came up with it. I have no idea. Either way, it's kind of funny. But, and we're talking about the 90s usage of the term, by the way. If you go to the video of NS28, you go to about the 55-minute mark, you'll see the clip of when the capsule, the head of Jeff Bezos' phallus, lands in the desert, right? And you can see it's got these sort of distress marks down the sides of it. Now, I put this video on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. You can compare the two capsules and see that there's something very different. Like the Katy Perry capsule seems kind of perfect, whereas the Emily capsule seems like there is some marks of sort of re-entry, okay? And that door is what's fascinating, because that's what a lot of the mainstream media has glommed onto as far as the conspiracies of this event. Because on NS31, someone opens that door from the inside. Because then Jeff Bezos and his handler there, they yell in, they're like, hey, shut the door. Because it's all a PR stunt, right? So then they shut the door, and Bezos has a little laugh. And then a minute later, Jeff Bezos goes over with this big old wrench and like touches it to the door. And when he goes to turn it, it just falls in. So clearly the lock mechanism was not engaged. But if you watch NS28, the person who has the wrench puts it on the door, and they give it a tug. And everyone loves a little tug. But the door is clearly, the lock mechanism is engaged, and it's hard to open. All right. So clearly something is different there between the two events. I'm not an expert on space travel. I've read that the reason you don't see tons of distress marks on the capsules is because it's not this orbital thing. Like, I guess SpaceX goes into orbit, and this just kind of gets up there and then drops back down. Same reason why it can have giant windows where most of the capsules don't. The original Gemini mission, apparently there was talk like not allowing any windows at all. Windows are much heavier. Windows are a sort of failure point. So it doesn't really make sense to have windows in a way. I mean, from the human systems integration aspect, it's nice because you can look out the window, right? You don't feel like you're trapped in this little tin can. But let's talk about who went up there. It was given heavy DEI vibes, right? which is interesting to me because I thought Jeff Bezos was part of this new school, like alpha bro, red pillar billionaire club, right? He's out there, him and Mark Zuckerberg hitting the CrossFit MMA or whatever they're doing. So I found it interesting. I thought, well, that's interesting because I thought you guys were the anti-DEI crowd now. But whatever, you know, it was an all-female thing. It was the Taking Up Space crew, and it did not go over well with the public, okay? And it was because these people are insufferable, not because people are anti... Well, I don't want to speak for all people. I found them insufferable, not because I'm, like, anti-woman or I think that women or minorities or groups of disenfranchised people shouldn't have representation. I think they should. I think that gives people motivation and makes them feel good when they see someone that reminds them of themselves. They're like, hey, this person did it. I can do it too. Like, there is a lot of self-esteem issues in our culture. So I'm not opposed to those things. But with this, I'm like, these are a bunch of jerk-offs. Okay. So who was on this crew? Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez. CBS News journalist Gail King. Aisha Bowe, she's the founder and CEO of Stemboard, some tech company. Amanda Nguyen, she was a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, one of the 2022 Time Women of the Year. She's an activist for SA stuff. Carrie Ann Flynn, she's a film producer, which is probably relevant to what's going on with this video. And then we've got Katy Perry. Oh, Katy. Katy, what a long history we've got together. Since the early blogging days of 2011, I've been talking about Katy Perry for so many years. I've seen her journey high and low. I mean, the big one is the Super Bowl, right? Like the biggest ritual, mass ritual event. And it started out with UFOs coming together, and then she was the Whore of Babylon, which is kind of like right on the nose of the symbolism of what this is all about, with Jack Parsons opening up portals to the Whore of Babylon, the divine feminine, which we're going to keep coming back to that topic as we go through this, because it's very relevant and it's very important. Ironically, she also has a new video called Portals, right? Kind of strange that she's doing space travel, don't you think? Kind of strange that she had a video called E.T. about her and Kanye making sexy time with aliens. She had a 365 video with Zedd, and she was this transhumanistic robot at the Met Gala in 2018. She was dressed up like a fallen angel. In the Bon Appetit video with the Migos, they were cannibals, and she was laid out as human food for the elites, kind of like the Justin Bieber Yummy video. She had an album called Prism that came out exactly right after Edward Snowden's NSA Prism revelation. When you Googled the word Prism, all you got was Katy Perry results. And I thought, well, that's interesting. She also did, there's a video called Never Really Over, and she was doing the rock diamond, the triangle of manifestation in terms of the occult and witchcraft. Another big one, she had the video with Juicy J called Dark Horse. Surely you've heard that song. She was using a lot of the Egyptian mythology, the all-seeing eye. She was dressed up as Isis. Again, divine feminine, right? The goddesses of pagan past. And that was a big one, especially back in the blogging days. That one I got picked up on Huffington Post, linked to my article on that, which I was like, wow, that's crazy, right? Lots of people are interested in this stuff. But yeah, throughout all of her career of music videos, there's constant all-seeing eyes. She multiple times did the eye of the V next to the I, which is a symbol for summoning Nodens from the abyss. And who does that? Isis does. The female goddess is responsible for evoking the magical formula to incarnate the beast from the abyss, the Antichrist, Nodens, or Typhon. Which she was also in a magazine video shoot for the magazine V with who? Madonna, my Kabbalah queen. And then she was, of course, campaigning with Hillary Clinton, if you recall, back around 2016, which didn't turn out too well for her. But one of my favorites was how Katy Perry basically killed a nun. Kind of. She was trying to buy the property that's next to the LaBianca Manson murder house, and it's a nun convent. And the nuns wouldn't sell it to her because the nuns are like, no, you sold your soul to the devil, because that's what she said on TV. She said she wanted to be a gospel singer. She wanted to be Amy Grant. But then she said, but then I decided to sell my soul to the devil. And her first breakout hit was I Kissed a Girl. So maybe this is fake and gay. I mean, that's pretty gay, right? No, there's a problem with that. I support you all. I got lots of LGBTQ types in my family. Love you guys. You want to kiss a girl? Kiss a girl. But as far as the nuns and the Christian culture goes, they weren't having that. So the nuns were like, we're not selling this property to you. You sold yourselves, said yourselves sold to the devil. You're out here pushing homo things. They weren't having that. But Katie, she was like, nah, bitch, I'm going to have that property. I'm taking it. So she took the nuns to court. And during the court trial, in the courtroom, the major head nun drops dead. What? Yeah, she dropped dead. Was it because Katy Perry put a witchcraft spell on her? I don't know. That's a wild conspiracy theory. And guess what? Katie eventually won the dispute, and she owns the property, and she's right next to where the Manson murders happened, which is insane. But anyway, what did she do on the Blue Origin flight? That's what we're here to talk about today. Well, first off, let's talk about the hypocrisy, right? She's one of these climate change warriors like Taylor Swift and Bill Maher that yet and still fly private jets around the country all the time. Which on one level I actually get in some strange way, but F these people, right? I get it, because like Taylor Swift can't be on a regular plane. The chaos that would ensue, I wouldn't want to be on that flight. Could you imagine? I guess. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it was all psyop. Because you remember there was that video of the Beatles getting off the plane in America and everyone was freaking out. The girls were fainting and passing out and crying in hysterics. And that was like propaganda, wasn't it? I think. Look that up. Make sure I'm right on that. So maybe not. Maybe people would just be like, yeah, it's Taylor Swift. Who cares? I don't know, though. I do feel like that would be chaos, to be fair. But I also wouldn't, if I was that famous, I would also be kind of like, maybe I should chill on that climate change talk. But that's kind of like Great Reset stuff, right? The world's elites and the richies want to make sure that all the poor people aren't using too much fossil fuel so they can, because they're God's chosen ones and they can just do whatever they want. But anyway, Katy Perry, she's up in space and they get to weightlessness. This is kind of the video clips you see everywhere. And, of course, she holds up a set list for her stupid concert. And it's on a butterfly. We could talk Project Monarch here, but we won't. But to me, I think that was their point of this whole thing. Plugging stuff. She's plugging her concerts. Jeff Bezos is plugging his Blue Origin space tourism. He's in a pissing contest with Elon over who can, you know, fuel up the breakaway civilization so they can wreck our planet and they can all escape and leave us to rest and piss. These are awful people. Make no mistake about it. And when I did a top 10 evil nerds countdown years ago on Breaking Social Norms, and spoiler alert, guess who came in at number one? Elon Musk. Now, Jeff Bezos, he didn't rank too high on my list. Because to be fair, I like Amazon and Audible. I really do. I sell my books on there, my audiobooks. At least, like, he gave us something good, a good product, I think. I use Amazon Video. I actually enjoy Amazon and Audible a lot, so I hesitate to trash on him too hard. Like, I don't want to dunk on the guy too hard because I'm like, yeah, I kind of like your stuff. But, you know, F these rich people, right? But again, you get this sort of Hunger Games announcers. They're like, oh, they said, this is what they said, and I quote, Blue Origin does everything they can do to make this as safe as possible. It's like, oh my God. Is this the Truman Show? Are we living in the Truman Show now? That's what it feels like. But anyway, Katy Perry, she kept going on and on. She's like, I'm going to sing in space. She was so excited. And I don't know what it is about singing nerds. They love it. They love singing. And God bless them for it. I appreciate that. And so the irony of all this is that I actually enjoy a lot of Katy Perry music. Don't tell anybody. I actually love a lot of her. I think it was called the Teenage Dream album. I think it's great. It's a great album. But anyway, she's up there in space, and she's apparently, there's no video footage that I could confirm. I got tired of looking for stuff, and I was like, I got to get this show out, and my schedule's tight this weekend. But apparently she sang What a Wonderful World, and the reason why, because she's like, I'm not going to sing one of my songs, because all the women on the flight, they're like, oh, we kept wanting Katy to sing one of her songs, we love them. But she was like, it's not about me, folks. I'm going to sing What a Wonderful World. Even though she showed her stupid concert set list, it's not about her. Okay, got it. And it's interesting because this whole ritual of singing in space was a big to-do. Lady Gaga was supposed to do this. She was supposed to be the first woman to sing in space. She was hyping it up back in 2013. I covered this on the blogging days. She was supposed to fly on the Virgin Galactic and be the first woman to perform in space. But you know what happened? She backed out the next year. Why? Because the test flight for that crashed and burned, and the pilot died. That's right. It crashed in the Mojave Desert in 2014, and you'll never believe what day they did that on. October 31st, Samhain, of all dates, the exact date that Jack Parsons was out in the Mojave Desert testing his rockets. Well, it was actually the Arroyo Seco, which is not necessarily in the Mojave Desert, but you get the point. And he, you know, when he did the rocket launches, he would do little satanic prayers, little thelemic prayers before he'd launch them. The history of rocketry is inextricably linked to the occult. But Katy Perry, she said, she comes down from the flight, and she said, I felt like I was connected to the divine feminine. And she was going on and on about how she had meditated to prepare for this event and all this stuff. And lots of the right-wing news outlets really fixated on this thing about how she talked about the divine feminine, okay? And it's a really hot topic in the UFO world because if you recall, the Bledsoe family, shout out Ryan Bledsoe, go listen to Bledsoe Said So. We did a couple shows together. And their experience with contact, right? Chris Sr. made contact with some entities, and they professed it to be a sort of divine feminine vibe. I think Hathor was sort of like the name they used. And then recently, Jake Barber, who was doing this sort of, I don't know what you call it, these interviews about his experience with moving egg-shaped aircraft, spacecraft, he also claimed he felt this divine feminine presence. And it's interesting because Katy Perry would be the one to experience the divine feminine on this flight because she was the embodiment of such at the Super Bowl when she came out as the Whore of Babylon. And this event, which we're going to talk about the symbolism of the patch and the Baphomet and the Goa Dabobs and the Star of Ishtar, and we're going to keep coming back to this divine feminine over and over and over. That's what this is all about. So what's happening with the reception of this event? Well, these ladies are getting dragged all over social media. Even the Secretary of Transportation shat on them and was like, look, chicks, you do not meet the qualifying standards of being an astronaut. So just to take them down a peg, he made sure to tell them they're not astronauts, even though they said they were. But there's a lot of symbolism to unpack in this thing. There's lots of names and numbers and theories and locations that we got to understand. This is the synchromystic element of the event. So let's take a look. And first off, Blue Origin. I looked that up because I thought, I don't know what that means. It refers to Earth, right? And I guess it makes sense. It's the origin of the rocket. Blue Origin, it means the Earth origin is where that rocket is. But what a dummy. You're naming space rockets after Earth? Okay. Now, the flight itself was called NS-31 and refers to New Shepard. And this is the name used for the reusable space tourism rockets for Blue Origin. And it's named after Alan Shepard, the first American in space. Now, symbolically, on the synchromystic level, there's only one good shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's a reference to Jesus, is the good shepherd. So it's interesting that Jeff Bezos is over here calling this the new shepherd. Subconsciously, symbolically, he's saying that he is the new Jesus. He is the new God. Because that's what all of these nerds are into. They want to be the new God so bad. And the flight number 31 in Kabbalistic numerology is El, as in the Elohim, as in the gods. And it's interesting because 31 also the reflection and inverse of 13. And 13 is the number for the divine feminine. Because there's 13 lunar cycles in a year, 13 menstrual cycles. So, you know, 13 and 31 are linked. You've got the Elohim and the divine feminine on the new shepherd, the new God rocket. And then when you look at the patch, a lot of people are pointing out that if you invert the patch, it shows you the Baphomet go with the Bobs. And I could see that for sure. I see that. And a lot of people are like, oh, that means they worship Satan. And it's like, kind of, but not really at the same time. When you look at the actual occult history of this thing, the Baphomet was the entity worshipped by the Knights Templars because they had these Eastern mysticism leanings. They had learned from the Assassins and these Arab mystic teachers about the eight-pointed Star of Ishtar, which you'll find on the patch. That's another big reveal. You'll see that there's an eight-pointed star, and that's the Star of Ishtar. Again, representation of the divine feminine, the goddess. And we know this about the Knights Templar because of Joseph von Hammer Purgstall, the coolest name ever. Joseph von Hammer Purgstall. He affirmed that the Knights Templar were worshiping the Baphomet. They were spitting on the cross. They were doing gay things, for sure. And they had learned about the Gnostic mystery religion, and that's why they were spitting on the cross and worshiping Baphomet, which is considered the seat of intellect. And then a magician named Eliphas Levi, who was practicing all this occult magic, actually depicted the Baphomet and drew the go with the Bobs, which Anton LaVey would then incorporate as the logo for the Church of Satan, as the word of the Gnostics. And in the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey proclaimed that the Baphomet was symbolic of Satan. So, is it satanic? Yes. Is there more to it than a simple good versus evil? Absolutely. And it represents the wisdom of the Sophia, which is the Gnostic idea, right? They worship the goddess Sophia, the goddess of wisdom, in the creation story of the world, right? Because they think that the God and the Pleroma, the divine, created different opposing pairs of perfected opposing pairs of Seges, and the goddess Sophia mixed with the male consort for Sophia. They procreated because they wanted to become like gods too. And they created this entity and they were like, oh crap, don't let God see it. So they kicked it out. And this was the Yaldabaoth. And the Yaldabaoth was outside of the Pleroma. And it looked back and it said, well, I want to create my own world. So it created the Demiurge to create our world, which is a false reality. And the Yaldabaoth, through this creation of a simulation world, has us worshiping him as the God. And he's not the real God. The real God's way over here in the Pleroma. That's what the Gnostics believe. And the Sophia, the goddess of wisdom, is attempting to wake us up to this, to let us know, like, hey, you're worshiping a false god. But the worship of the Baphomet is not limited to the Knights Templar. It's also part of the Promethean idea and the scientific religion and the sort of humanists. They worship the seat of intellect because they want to gain knowledge or gnosis. And of course, it represents the reconciliation of opposing forces, right? You got the goat with the Bobs, the male goat with the female Bobs. It's the combination, the conjunction of the sun and the moon, the male and female, the king and the queen. It goes on and on and on. And side note, there's an image, if you look at the artwork for this episode, and this was a compilation image I've seen on Reddit. and it supposedly links all these numbers with a satanic journal, and it's all AI BS, as far as I could tell. Except for that, there's one image on the far right that looks like the pages from Hocus Pocus in the spell book. It looks like the same script and everything. I looked through my copy, and I didn't see that exact verbiage or anything, but I propose that those are AI generated, okay? Could be wrong. That's what I think, though, from my search around of trying to confirm some of those images. Now let's talk about the timing of the trip. The trip was 11 minutes. Isn't that interesting? Some news outlets will say it's 10 minutes. I assure you, it's closer to 11. It's, if you watch it from the firing up of the rocket on the pad to the capsule landing, it's almost on the nose at 11 minutes. It's like 10 minutes and 45 seconds-ish. So it's actually 11 minutes. And 11 being the number of magic, as per Aleister Crowley. It's the number beyond the completion, right? Because 10 is a completed number. In the Kabbalistic tree of life, you've got 10 Sephirot, and at the top Sephirot, you've got the Kether, which is where God resides with the crown. Well, the number 11 exists beyond the 10, beyond the God. It's the outsider. It's the magician. All right? And it represents the twin pillars, because you've got the one and the one. This is the Boaz and Yakin. It's the magical doorway of reality piercing the veil through the will of the magician. So the number 11 is heavily occulted, right? You know, we say it a million times, the letter K is the 11th letter of the alphabet. That's why Crowley adds the K to the word magic. It's about creating your own reality, man becoming God, trying to exist outside of the 10 Sephirotic creation of the world. Furthermore, the launch occurred at 9:30 Eastern time, which you got the 9 and the 3, which is the numerology of Thelema, Aleister Crowley's religion. And Jack Parsons, who was a Thelemite, he invented rockets in a way, sort of. Jack Parsons viewed these rocket launches as being heavily ritualistic in nature. That's why he would do little Thelemic prayers before launch. He would pick specific times and dates, like using Samhain, October 31st, for his first launch ever to sort of create JPL. So we have to look at the location of the launch as well. Also occulted. It was from Jeff Bezos' launch site one, which is called Corn Ranch. Now, Corn is very Illuminate confirmed. If you followed me through the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series, you know this. If you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for. 55 episodes. It's on the supporter feeds only right now. Someday I'll put it on the free feed, but I got to finish writing the book. When's that going to happen? Who knows? This year, next year, it might be a while. So the corn is heavily symbolic as well. It's sacred in Native American lore because the corn, it goes through the cycle of death and rebirth, right? The corn grows, you eat it, there's a kernel, you plant the kernel, it's dead, right? You bury it underground, and then it comes back to life in league with the rhythms of nature, the Mother Gaia, the Earth Mother, all right? And in fact, it's referred to in this book I have called Symbols of the Goddess by Claire Gibson. And there's this whole chapter that I'm going to read you a little bit, but it kind of goes on and on. One of the most important natural manifestations of the goddess is a deity of the corn, the principal cereal crop of the Americas. The Native Americans of the plains, for instance, tell that the supreme male deity, Nizaru, created maize whose seeds germinated into the first humans. Spiders were then sent below the earth to procreate, thus creating giants whom Nizaru drowned in a flood. Sounds familiar. Next, Nizaru sent Corn Mother from his heavenly cornfields to the subterranean realm. She thrust herself through the earth toward the light and led the animals and humans to the west. She taught her people how to cultivate maize and how to worship deities. It was she who gave humans the components of their sacred medicine bundles, instructed the women in the art of the game of shinny, and told the tribes to smoke tobacco. Her task accomplished, Corn Mother returned to the sky, leaving behind her the cedar tree by which she is remembered, as well as the maize. Then they talk about annual rituals with the corn, bada bing, bada boom. Thus, the goddess may be regarded as a tutelary spirit who in ancient times instructed her people on how to conduct their lives and gave them symbolic totems that serve as a constant reminder of their sacred obligations. So the corn is symbolic of the divine feminine goddess. All right. And, you know, you see it in Twin Peaks because Laura Palmer is, she goes through the cycles of the corn, the death and the rebirth, right? I am dead, yet I live. And alchemically, it combines the sun with water to create life. It creates food, and it's considered the gold of the earth. It unionizes the forces of life and death. And this goes back, symbolically, it represents the divine feminine because it goes back to the Eleusinian mysteries when Demeter, who was the goddess of corn, mourns the loss of Persephone, who is descended to the underworld, but then returns for the cycle of renewal, the death and rebirth, just like the journey of the corn that dies, gets planted into the underworld as the seed, and returns. All right. And it grows from the cycles of the earth, from the mother Gaia. In the womb of her creation, it sustains life. So, interesting, it's called Corn Ranch. And on top of that, the actual city it's in is called Van Horn, Texas, also occulted with the ideas of the horns of Moloch, right? Now let's talk about some of the sillier conspiracies I've read. Well, some of them silly, some not so much. The door. When the door, and it opened, you know, we already talked about how the door was already opened from the inside, which it shouldn't be able to do. And then they had to sort of reposition and start over. But the thickness of the door is also in consideration because the thickness of the Jeff Bezos phallus tip door is very thin compared to a commercial airliner. And people are like, why is that? Also, you've got this theory that I saw an image from outside looking in at the big windows and it looked like a dummy was in there. Like not even, it looked like a fake hand, and the pants the dummy was wearing had a white stripe. And if you look at the images of the suits the women wore, they, none of them have a white stripe. And when I was talking to Ryder Lee about this on Raised by Giants, he pointed out that you can see that there's so much photo cropping in the photos here. Like the one, like Lauren Sanchez is missing a foot. Like it's crazy. The whole thing is an illusion. Let's see, what else? Oh, I saw a theory that they said breast implants can't make it to space. I looked that up. It doesn't seem like that's true. They said there's no air in breast implants. They're fine. People point out that a capsule can never have 360-degree windows because there's all this immense pressure on the windows and such, but apparently the beef is that the structure of the window is so weak that you couldn't make windows that big. I'm not an astrophysicist or a rocket scientist, so I don't know the answer to that. I do know that windows weigh a lot more, and it does introduce a failure point. But if you think about it, Blue Origin, officially, is supposed to be about space tourism, meaning they're going to have a bunch of rich elites take this little joyride up to the you know, see the curvature of the Earth and then come back down. So the windows are kind of what it's all about. They need them to be big. And like I said earlier, it doesn't go into orbit, so apparently it doesn't have the same intensity of a re-entry. But these are the largest windows of any spacecraft. But apparently that's the point. That's what the sales pitch is. It's like, you're going to see everything. Then there's the theories about the capsule surface should have been far more damaged and scorched from re-entry. Make of those what you will. But our final topic here, the most important one, is the symbolic synchronistic elements of what the ritual is all about. And this goes back to the same idea we saw from the Apollo missions, right? In the 60s, you had the Apollo sun god, the masculine energy, penetrating the mysteries of the divine feminine of the moon, landing the phallus on the moon. It's like a dominance thing. And it's, of course, the alchemical idea and the reconciliation of opposing forces. That's your goat with the bobs. The alchemical marriage of the sun king with the moon queen, the fire and the water, right? You got the fire from the rockets, the watery realm of the moon, even though I know there's no water. Well, there's a little water. It's a yin and yang concept. And the sun being the male dominance force, symbolized by the obelisk, right? Fully erect at the top of its power cycle at high noon once a day, Whereas, as opposed to the female, which has a 28-day hormonal cycle, the male has a 24-hour cycle. So the obelisk was set up so that at high noon, like, there's no shadow. It's at full strength, right? Fully erect. And that's what the Blue Origin rocket literally looks like. It's a big old penis. So the male is the active penetrating force. It's the generative force in nature. And the moon is always represented by what? The divine feminine, the goddess. This is the Ishtar. That's why you see the eight-pointed star of Ishtar on the Go With The Bobs patch. And it symbolizes the subconscious. And the moon is the reflector of the sun, right? And it's kind of like how some people would subscribe to the idea of a nuclear family with the husband and wife being the perfect opposing polarities coming together, right? There's that adage of behind every, you know, good man's a great woman or something like that. The wife is the mirror of the best qualities of her husband. That's why the wives have to sort of like settle us men down. Like, we're kind of a mess, right? You know, you go over to a man's house who doesn't have a female in his life and you're like, you need an interior decorator or something, dude. What's going on here? You got a blow up futon couch and a TV on the floor in the corner. And like with men, like, we're easy. We're just like, yeah, we don't care. Whatever. But a woman can make like a nesting, can make a beautiful home that has a beautiful vibe and a very nice feeling when you walk into it, right? With men, it's like, it's just cold and simplistic. It's just two different sort of entities, and when they come together, they kind of can perfect each other in a way. So to marry the two opposing forces is to take the dominating, penetrating, warlike desires of the male with its powers of fire and the kinetic energy of the rockets into the realm of the tranquility of the moon, the divine feminine, where there's intuition and subconscious elements. It's the watery, calming area. And once, if you're initiated into the ideas of alchemy, once you conduct this operation, you've now been enlightened. You've now gone through the individuation process of Carl Jung. And spiritually, you are considered whole. So, does the Blue Origin publicity stunt fit into these topics? Absolutely. In conclusion, absolutely. Right? You got the Jeff Bezos Blue Origin phallus rocket, and it's full of women. And they come landing down in the head of the dick. And there's the, of course, there's this whole vibe of Bezos flexing on Elon and all these other billionaires. Like, he's got to be the one to open the hatch to, you know, he's responsible for this mission. But most importantly, you saw the reconciliation of opposing forces with this whole thing. It was on the patch. That's what the go with the Bobs is. It's the reconciliation of opposing forces. So was it propaganda? Of course it's propaganda. Now, did it really happen? I don't know. I haven't been there. I wasn't in the capsule. There's a lot of strange things that I don't buy. And I don't trust any of these people involved. And to be fair, if it really did happen, I bet that's an incredible ride. I bet it's terrifying, right? Like, the thrust must have been insane. The thrust of Jeff Bezos' phallus rocket is off the charts. And maybe that's what this is all about. He was like, I'm taking on six women in my big old phallus. But it seemed very propaganda-esque, right? Publicity stunt left and right. I mean, look at all these jerk-offs involved. It's a who's who of buttholes in our world. It's probably some way of dodging tax payments for Jeff Bezos. It's probably some way of publicity stunt for Katy Perry's concerts. I don't know what these other chicks are into. Gail, I don't even know anything about them. Gail King, Lauren Sanchez, I don't know what their deal is. But they all come back, they're selling us on this enlightenment they received. They're like, wow, I just looked down and I thought we were all connected. And it's like, well, yeah. Maybe if you spent 2 minutes thinking and doing some introspective work, you wouldn't need to go in a space rocket and do that and have that consideration. But that's what the capitalism of this country. It wants to tell us, like, oh, do you want to be enlightened? Just pay Jeff Bezos $100K and you'll have this experience that you can put on Instagram and tell everyone how enlightened you are now. It's like, or you could just not be a jerk and try to take care of people. Maybe Jeff, maybe now that you feel that we're all connected, you can tell Jeff to not make his Amazon workers wear diapers and let them unionize and have breaks and whatever, right? I don't know. I don't work in Amazon. I don't know what it's like there. But yeah, the rockets firing off are a very violent, explosive thing. And the destination is the quiet tranquility of space for a second, right? The moon, the divine feminine. So it's all occulted, right? It's all about man becoming God. They believe in this Kabbalistic interpretation that we discussed earlier about the demiurge and this Gnostic view that we're in this material realm of hell and we need to escape, and it's only through the tech elites that we can do this. It's almost fits in the Dark Enlightenment series in a way, right? And Bezos is showing their breakaway civilization goals of trying to escape from the microcosm of this prison planet. And don't forget where all this space travel ideas, it originates with Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, the pulps, which is, you know, science fiction, which ironically, I was at a bar in Salt Lake last night, and it's called Whiskey Street, and in the bathrooms they have framed the pulp comics. I thought, well, that's strange. That was a synchronicity, because I'd just been researching this last night, and I woke up early this morning to record this. Well, that's odd, because the pulps were printed on the founder of the OTO. He created the pulps, because it refers to the magazine it was printed on. I talk about all this in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1. If you haven't got that book, I don't know what you're waiting for. Get it. It's on Audible, Amazon. It's a great book. But yeah, all this stuff goes back, all the space travel stuff goes back through the occult. You know, Jack Parsons, JPL, Nazis, Wernher von Braun, NASA, it's all there. So yeah, there's an occult background in all this. Okay, Illuminate confirm. All right, I hope you enjoyed this. This was your bonus show for the month of April. You guys support this show. You support me. You keep this show alive. I say that, I mean that, always. So thank you so much for your support. Again, check out, if you're on the Patreon, check out your new tier names. If you're like, hey, I didn't know I could save a few bucks going annual, go annual. Save yourself 16%. It's awesome. Or if you want to go up to tier 2, check that out. I got a video version of the show. I'm going to start trying to add more images to it. I mean, look, I'm a one-man army, so my production is, it's not the best. I will admit that. Should I hire a videographer? Maybe. The problem is like I do time sensitive material, so I gotta do this on my own, and I gotta hurry up and knock it out and upload it and do all these things. So anyway, if you're not on the Patreon, if you're on the Apple Premium, thank you so much. If you're on the VIP section, thank you very much. VIP section folks, if you need to get a hold of me, I've got information in the show notes and on the emails, so check into that for more. What else is there? I think that's all the news I've got. Yeah, don't forget to check out my Dr. Jacques Vallée interviews. That was fascinating. And on Breaking Social Norms this weekend, we're going to sit down and record an analysis of what he said with some major findings, okay? All right. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting the show. You guys are the best. Until next time, stay positive.